Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you for your word. Thank you very much. So deal with us. Here we are. And our God, we thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. God, who is glorious, seeks to glorify himself. And no one else can do it because he alone is God. There's no one else can be anything like him because he is all of it all by himself. Now, in the light of that, so God the Father is represented by God the Son. God the Son is represented by God the Holy Spirit. And they do have done a wonderful thing for us, God has. And God has made it possible for us to have a relationship to him, that honors knowing him and having a relationship to him that is called eternal life. The relationship is eternal life. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so God, you created humans to demonstrate your wonderful person in a most awesome and wonderful way. You are the invisible God. By that I mean you are everywhere all at once in the spiritual realm, and it is beyond anything in our earthly realm to tackle it. It's totally beyond us and out of reach. So now, God, what have you done? You went in your wonderful providence before the foundation of the earth, before the angels were created, and you, God the Son, determined to be the Savior, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the earth. You would become the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, God, you have a wonderful plan. And the plan is to glorify yourself by way of creation. Now, creation, angels are awesome beings by the numbered, beyond numbering. And those angels are spiritual beings. Now, God, you have done something wonderful. You have gone and presented yourself and made it possible for you in the spiritual realm to be understood in the material realm. And you created man, Adam and Eve, mankind, that's us, Genesis 1 and 26, 27, in your image and likeness, to be able to honor you, for you to be able to find yourself, see yourself in a human being like no other. Now, having said that, God, in your wonderful plan and purpose, God, that's your plan, to demonstrate your wonderful person and put yourself on display. Now, and you're going to do so in a way that honors you and brings forth your marvelous character and person. And you're going to create man, Adam and Eve. They're going to sin. They're going to fall. All understood at the beginning. And you determined that you would be the Savior and save them, every one of them, if they would but believe. That's your plan. And you would demonstrate what? Grace and mercy and judgment. Well, you would demonstrate something. If you don't let us sin, if you don't allow that to happen, how can there be a demonstration of your awesome character? There can't be. So God, in your all-wise wisdom, you did that. And you created humans. Now, humans have the right, and before, remember now, God, before you did anything, you already have the Lord Jesus Christ going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea and going to die before anything is created. So you already have Christ on the cross, as it were, before anything. So that's why it all can happen. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, so God, you're going to honor yourself. I am. I'm going to honor myself in a human being. Humans are going to honor me visually. Visually. Spirit world. But you're going to go do something awesome, God. You're going to, you create the heaven and the earth with all of its wonder and the and 2 trillion galaxies. So they say observable in some form, I have no idea. Well, and you do, and besides, you're going to take all of that away and you're going to do it all over again. You're going to create a new heaven and a new earth in a whole new way, in a whole advanced way. Wow. Now, in the process of, that's visual. That's visual to see. Now, God, what are you going to do? I'm going to go and I've created humans so that when I have a human made in my image and likeness, they're going to be able to go and I have a visual display of my marvelous person, said God. Now, keeping that in mind, if you would, here's all the humans and the saved and unsaved, and all of them can be saved, Genesis 3:15 and all of that. And they all can, and God, you're going to have a visual display in heaven and a visual display in hell. That's right. You're going to be hell, heaven, you're going to display my marvelous person. Now, so in the process, here we are, humans. Now, the whole center isn't the heavens and the earth, it's the humans, and especially the human, our Lord Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea. He is the human who puts on a resurrected body. He's going to demonstrate. That's what all humans, seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15, it's all about your wonderful person being put on display. Hang on to that. To show forth your grace and your mercy and your grandeur. To exalt yourself, to honor yourself, to glorify yourself. And now, having said that, and Israel will do its thing, and it did its thing, and ultimately you're going to finish it off with your wonderful promise and in the kingdom and do a wonderful thing with Israel. But God, in unbelief, in rank unbelief in the world, you're going to demonstrate what? Your grace. Our Lord Jesus Christ, John 1:14, is full of grace and truth. He demonstrates grace. Now, how does he demonstrate grace? He saves to the uttermost whosoever that would believe. That's an awesome thing. An awesome thing. Now, God, you're doing that. I am. Now, but God, I'm going to because of unbelief, they crucified him, etc., etc. And in the process, God, you're going to demonstrate the person that's the centerpiece, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross and rose again. And so right now, we're in an age of grace, dispensation of grace. And we're demonstrating what? What is the believers doing? They're demonstrating the wonderful person and life of Jesus Christ risen from the grave. And we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ who has risen from the grave and receive him as our personal Savior and Lord. And we do that. Now, God, you're going to demonstrate the church in an awesome way. It's your body. That's right. And your body is going to demonstrate your wonderful person, headship, grace in a more way. So God, we're all about the church. The body is a special way to demonstrate visually forever your grace by way of the person of Jesus Christ and the body. The body, your bodies, most of you, your bodies represent your head. Your foot doesn't represent your kidneys. Your foot represents your head, the whole bodily system, all the systems within it represent you, you the person. God, you're demonstrating your marvelous person in a marvelous way with the church, the body of Christ, to demonstrate and show forth your grace, which is all, it's all, that's what all heaven, we're there, Ephesians 2, 6 and 7, we're going to be there forever. Representing what? The wonderful person of Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, and you have to have that in mind because it's that relationship at the moment in history of the church, the outworking of the resurrected testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ till he comes again for us in the tribulation and all of that, that demonstrates we're demonstrating something, and God is demonstrating it in an awesome way. That, you got to have that. Hold on to that. It's like no other. No other way. The only way we can even come close to understanding it is to know the wonderful, perfect humanity and deity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. I need to understand, when you receive Christ as your Savior, God does some, in this age of grace, God does something awesome. And it has to be awesome for him to show what? The head, the body shows the head. Who's the head? The Lord Jesus Christ. Now, John chapter 14. In the upper room, only a few hours before the crucifixion. And keeping that in mind. So now, here we are looking, and God, remember now, God is going to has demonstrated over and over throughout history that he is, like Exodus 3 and 14, I am that I am. Moses wants to know what name shall he use to identify to Pharaoh and to the people of Israel. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, So here's the God, and you've given the Lord Jesus Christ, as we've shared, is demonstrating God the Father by way of his words and way of his works. So God is going to be, God the Son is demonstrating the person of the Father. Now, over if you would back to John's, just to remind yourself, John chapter 5. And in John chapter 5, check in if you would, and reminding ourselves of the person, the wonderful person of Jesus Christ is demonstrating God the Father in an awesome way. So now, here's John chapter 5, and picking up if I can, chapter 5 and in verse 36. But I have, said the Lord Jesus, I have greater witness than that of John for the works which the Father hath given me to finish. The same works that I do bear witness of me, of what? That the Father has sent me. Verse 37. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, the invisible infinite God. Verse 38. And you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, Him ye believe not. Now, verse 39. Search the scriptures. They have them, all those wonderful Old Testament scriptures. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is demonstrating God's wonderful person in his perfect humanity by his words and his works. And therefore, God, in your awesomeness, over to chapter 12, just to tie it even firmer together, chapter 12. And each time, locking it in better, chapter 12, picking up if I can, in verse 49. Lord Jesus again, for I have spoken, I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment that what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father has said unto me, I speak. So God, the Lord Jesus Christ, perfectly representing God the Father in a most awesome way. Therefore, his words and his works. And therefore, therefore you know why. That's why God, he loves God. How can you show you love God? By honoring his word and his works. How can we ever come to grips with God? We can't, apart from his written word, and apart from his living word in the person of Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem, Judea, and raised again after his crucifixion on Calvary's cross, after crucifixion, risen Christ. So how are we going to know God? How can we? God, you made yourself God. So if I'm going to talk to you, God, if I'm going to love you, how am I going to love you as we share together? If you love me, keep my word. You cannot love me apart from my word, because I don't recognize you. I don't honor you. I've got to honor you as a person. I can't just throw love out and float in the air somewhere. It has to lock on to something. Love has to be a looking to receive. We receive love in order that we can reflect love. And it comes back to God, God's wonderful person. Without it, we can't know. We don't know. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, John chapter 14. And we share together in John chapter 14 the awesome, all of it's awesome. The whole section, verse, word after word is awesome. It's unbelievable. It's impossible. Aha! You're right. You're right. Hang on. It is. But God, you don't let up. You drive it home so the nail isn't going to get loose. Not at all. No. So now, in the continuing, John chapter 14 we did. Verse 20, in that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. I'm going to be in my Father. You're going to be in me. I'm going to be in you. A unique personal relationship. Again, hang on to that. You know all this stuff. So it's a relationship. A relationship unheard of. Now, picking up if I can. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. So you're going to, remember, you have to keep his word. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. You can't do it without honoring his word. You have to honor his word. Now hang on to that. All of that comes out wonderful. Now, so in the light of that, verse 21, middle of the verse, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest, make clear, public, plain, very plain, as we shared the verb, plain, make myself very, 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 very plain. So you're going to know. You're going to know for sure. We're going to make ourselves. You're going to love, if you're loving my word, you're loving me. If you're loving me, and then we shared it last time together, my Father is loving you. And that's awesome. My Father is loving you. And verse 21, and I am loving you. Hang on to that. No one can ever say that to you. We can use all the terms and we say them and can repeat them. But you couldn't touch that with a million-foot pole. Only God can do it. Only God makes it work. We satisfy ourselves with so much that's less and other than what it should be. And we're the losers. Now, in the light of that, and he goes on, manifest, I'm going to make it very plain. And then Judas, understandably, said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest, make yourself plain, public, in appearance, plainly, thyself unto us, and not unto, how are we going to know when no one else knows? Verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words. He will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And my Father and I, will come unto him and make our abode. Remember a word abode, a habitation, abiding places. The word abide, vine and the branch abide is the verb. And then you go to say it this way, habitation, abiding places, dwelling places. And we shared together last time or so through John chapter 14. Remember, in my Father's house are many abiding mansions. And that's the same word. In my Father's house. I have a place for you. You have a place for me. Place for you. You have a place for me. Wow. Now, and therefore, God said, listen, and my father and I are going to make ourselves very comfortable. We're going to find your heart our home. No. Yes. Now, verse 24. And he that loveth me, and he that loveth me not, doesn't love me, keeps not my saying. No, he doesn't honor my word. You can't love me unless you honor my word. If you don't honor my word, you don't love me. And you don't know the love of the Father because you want in the relationship to be able to enjoy it. You have to acknowledge the one you love, and the one you love needs to be understood objectively so that you can do it subjectively. Verse 24. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you heard is not mine, but the Father which sent me. So it's a wonderful, wonderful, unique, awesome relationship. Now, and that relationship is going to be manifest and going to make it very clear, public, plain. Now, and we started sharing that so you understand it. God, are we going to be able to touch you like, remember we said, our Lord Jesus said it in John chapter 20? Blessed are those Thomas after his resurrection that can never put their finger in the nail print in my hand, that cannot thrust their hand into my side where I was stuck with a spear. Blessed are they that can't see me. Because without faith, it's what? It's impossible to please him. He's the infinite, invisible God. That's right. Hang on. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind. So God, you're going to come make your abode in an awesome way. Now, in the light of that, think of all the wonderful relationships that are existent everywhere that we sort of don't even pay attention to. And when God tells us of another most special relationship to him, it doesn't make sense. But our world is full of relationships that we don't understand at all. Think of the sunshine, dear friends. The sunshine enters the flower and shows itself in all of its beauty, in the tints and in the blossom. The sunshine. How did the sunshine find expression? In the flower, in the blossom, in the buds. Oh, the water has wonderful, wonderful expression in the leaf and in the fruits. A unique relationship. Are you remembering that? How does the sunshine? It uses the flower. How does the water? Uses the flower to show itself, God. And here you are. You eat your food. You had your breakfast, maybe some lunch, maybe today. And you're going to go and devour it, right? You're going to take that lovely, lovely, lovely tomato or something and crush it. Crush it up. And put all your acid in it and just, boy. And then it goes, slides down the tube, ties down it, and then big the factory down there and beats it all up some more, and then what? It shows itself in every cell of your body, doesn't it? You took the tomato, and your body transferred it in an awesome way to show itself. That's why you're sitting here. You're full of tomatoes. Wow. That's what it's about, a mystery, an awesome, awesome thing. God, so we live like this, God, and you're able to do that. I'm able to go and take, I designed you for my image and likeness. I designed you for me, said God. I didn't design a kangaroo for that. I didn't design a cabbage. I didn't design an angel for that. I designed you for that. You're very, very special humans. Awesome humans for an awesome position to show an awesome God awesomely forever. That's what it was. Now, so God, here we are looking, and we want to understand that and move in that in a most wonderful way. Therefore, John chapter 14, picking up if I may, you're then going to say, God, because it's saying things that just can't happen. We hear them. We don't understand them. We can't possess them. We can't ingest them. God, and you don't quit. No, but I'm going to help you. Therefore, verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present, or the word present, abiding with you. I have told you all these things in the upper room, most special, to understand your assignment to the world and what you're going to show of my wonderful resurrected life in my wonderful grace. So I'm going to do that, and I have been doing that. But you know what? I'm going to be crucified and rise again and sit at the right hand of God in my perfect humanity. Therefore, verse 26, but the Comforter, remember verse 16 and 17, but the Comforter, verse 26, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, God, you're encouraging the 11 that are there, and you're helping them know what? I know you, use it to say it another way if I can. I know you guys, if I can, you guys are not going to remember, and it's impossible for you to even come to grips with what I'm telling you. But be of good cheer. You will get it, and I will make it clear, and I will manifest myself to you in an awesome way. Now, and the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is absolutely necessary for it to happen. Therefore, the Comforter must of the coming on the behalf of me. Now remember now, all of it, all of the whole business of the church and grace and mercy and all of it is centered in the person of Jesus Christ. It's not in us. It's not anywhere else. It's in his person. And you'll notice over and over again, my Father will send him in my name. You're going to ask whatever you will, John 14, 13. Turn there. It's right next door to you. See it. Look at the words if you can. John 14, verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, ask, remember the desire of the will, in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if, and you may, you shall ask anything, again, the same verb, everything, ask anything whatsoever in my name, I will do it. So it's all about you, our Lord. Remember our Lord, Matthew chapter 17, up in the mountain transfiguration, Peter, James, and John, and they saw Moses, and they saw Elijah, and then they were gone. And God said, the Old Testament's wonderful, truth is wonderful, but none of it will work apart from God. Therefore, taking Moses away, the law, taking prophets and putting it aside, not removing it, just putting it down, and they saw Jesus only, God in Christ only. So everything that's going to be is because of you, God, in your Son, the perfect man, going to display perfect humanity with whosoever's that would believe throughout all eternity. That's what you're going to do right now. That's with the church. That's what you're doing in your grace. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would. So the Spirit of God, the Comforter, the Spirit of God is going to come. He's going to come and He's going to, in my name, He's going to teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Now without, we're never going to get it all, but a little. Remember now, you want to know how on earth could that, go easy. Go back to Moses. Do you remember when Moses was there and Moses had a little writing pad and et cetera, and he had a writing pad and God went and created the heavens and the earth. Remember Moses wrote it all down and had a conversation with God about what he was writing? Never. Moses don't exist. Didn't exist. Moses, how could you possibly write Genesis? How could you do it? God did it. God, are you able to have a good memory? Do you know what you've said? Absolutely. How do you think you got the New Testament? How do you think those dear 11 disciples and the rest of them could even write? God said, I'm going to give it to you. He didn't say anyone else was going to do it. Think of Peter. Peter, no scripture is a private, personal interpretation. The Spirit of God has to do it. It's His word. It's His word. Now, God, can you do it? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why they didn't make any mistakes. That's how you got your New Testament. That's why it says at the end, Revelation 22, 18, 19, don't add or subtract. God's finished what He's saying until He comes. Wow. Now, God, that's what you did. And the Spirit of God's, give Him some credit. God knows everything. He says it perfectly. And we'll pick up the other part where it begins to help us in our mind and heart to have understanding. Hang on, we'll get it. Over if you would, please. It's an awesome thing, what we're looking at, and hopefully you get a little bit. Now, having said that little bit, the Spirit of God is going to go in a most wonderful way and teach us. The word teach, remember, to give instruction, to give direction is the verb, to give close instruction, to give careful illustrating, making sure, say it easy, to make sure the person understands what you're saying, to make it understandable, to teach in a way that you understand, not just say something you don't understand it. Wow. No, to teach so you can understand. Now, in the light of that, God, so that's the word teach in chapter 14 and verse 26. Now, and therefore, that word leads to the next word that you have to do it just for a second, just to see it. God teaches us. So we have understanding. The Spirit of God's ministry is to be the teacher to teach you. And all that I do or anyone else does, it's the Spirit of God that makes that work. I can give you whatever in my humanness. No, God has to give it to you with understanding. Otherwise, we're just talking. No, but God, can you put the pieces together? Absolutely. He does. So therefore, in the light of that, God, you're going to teach. Hold your finger here a minute. Over to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 11. And you want to keep in mind when you look at the word teach, another word comes into focus. And Matthew chapter 11, if I can. And you'll notice, please, I'll read, you're familiar with it, 11 and 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you. Remember the ox yoke? God's on one side, you're on the other. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. The word learn, has to do with, that's a word. What do you mean, learn? Say it, I love it. To bring it into your experience. I want you to learn it. I want the truth to come into your personal experience. That's what it means. That's what I want. Learn of me. I want you to have a personal, wonderful experience to who I am. Remember, we read in John 14, 24, 23. And my Father and I will make ourselves plain to you. So you aren't in the vague, wondering. No, it's a whole other realm, a whole other world. Hang on. And that's what God, so I'll read verse 29 again. Take my yoke upon you and learn. Get your learning from me. Get your experience. Why? For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So God said, I want you to know me in a very unique way. What's the spirit of God's ministry? To help you to know him. God isn't supposed to be some vague word or entity or something. God's a wonderful person. You're wonderful too. God's a wonderful person. He's a person. Oh, I know. What is God? I don't know. Well, they aren't going to go anywhere with that. Come on. The proof of that is daily, everywhere. Nothing happens with that. The concept of God is lousy, to say it easily. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over to Ephesians, going past John to Ephesians. And you will notice in Ephesians and in chapter 4, picking up if I can, chapter 4, and in verse 20. But, in light of the context, but you have not learned, been educated, experienced Christ, if so be that you have heard, if so be, if you may or may not, if you've heard him and have been taught, there's your word to teach, by him, he's going to teach you, knowing what? The end of verse 21, the truth is in Jesus. Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. What is the truth? Truth, reality. God is true. What is truth? God is. God is truth. Spirit of God, what are you going to do? Well, our Lord tells us, remember back in John, he's the comforter. He's the spirit of what? He's the spirit of truth. So Jesus Christ is the truth. God, the spirit of God, is going to represent the truth because he's the truth. So God, it's all about you, the truth. Well, hang on to that. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over to 1 John. The first epistle of John. Remember, going to teach, and remember, that's how they got the Bible. That's how it happens. There's nothing to it. You don't even need to wonder about it. Our Lord Jesus Christ confirmed over. He did. I don't care about anybody else in that sense. Whatever he is or says, there's no one like him. He's the only one that has risen again. He's the only one that qualifies to be who he is, God. I'm going to listen to him. And so when we're listening to God, what are you going to tell me? The Old Testament. I confirm it to you. It was all the original languages, it's fine. No question, all those things and copyists have like that, but they're minor things, and you'll easily see them. And just understand, I gave you the Old Testament. It's my word. So that ends that one. And God, you gave us the New Testament. That's right, because I told you, it's my words. My words. And you say, well, no, you can't do any. God said, listen, I'm very good at taking pens, Peter, James, Paul, Luke, I take a pen and I can write very well what I want to say. And I do. So give me some credit. One pen is red, another pen is blue. But I'm using the pens and I'm writing them. So be of good cheer. And my little bit, for my half a cent's worth, I haven't found anything yet. All I get is confirmation for a long time. Constant confirmation of God's wonderful person and presence for a long time. Wow. Now, so therefore, 1 John chapter 2, God, are you going to add to it? As I am. I am. And therefore, we're going to go in verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, hang on to all things. We aren't going to do it all because it's time's going to go. But I want you to understand, guess what? All things means all things. That isn't a thing. That's no, God can't mean that. You erase that out. No, God means all things. The same as God means whatsoever you ask. Guess what? What? God means whatsoever. God means, verse 14, anything you ask. Do you understand? Anything whatsoever. Those are legit, real, heavenly, awesome words. And I'm trying to tell you, God said, I have made it possible for you to have, verse 20. But you have an unction, anointing of priest, king, prophet, putting the ointment on, the smearing it on to consecrate them, to separate them, to sanctify them, to be a king, to be a priest, to be a prophet. And Christ, the anointed. You'll see the word unction. The anointed. You have an unction, an anointing. Where's the anointing from? The Holy One, the Spirit of God. What's he going to do? He's going to anoint you. He's going to consecrate you. He's going to sanctify you. He's going to separate you. For what? To be able to have an understanding, verse 20, that you know all things. Now God, he knows all things. And the anointing isn't you knowing all things. It isn't you doing, without me, think of John 15:5. Without me, you can do how much? Without me, you can do nothing. You are nothing apart from me. So you get that clear. It's not anything about us. No, it's about you, God. That's right. Jesus Christ is the truth. The Spirit of God is the truth. God is true. God, it's you. How? So God, when I know you, I must know the truth. And in order to have the truth, I must have you, and you have how much of the truth? All of the truth. So my relationship to you is an awesome relationship that gives me access to all of the wonderful truth. Say it another way. To have a unique, personal relationship to who you are. Thus, to have all the truth. To be in truth. In the lid of error and falsehood and everything, lies. God, the truth. Wow. And that's what you want us to have. That's right. And we have an unction from the Holy One so that you know. You know. And by the way, it's in perfect tense. You know already. That's what we say. To the believers, you know already the truth. How much of the truth? All of it. Where is it? Located in the person of God. By way of the Spirit of God, whose ministry is to make sure that all of the truth of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ is at your fingertips. You do not have it all, but he does. And you have it. It's all yours. not a very good illustration, but something. Think of King Solomon. What did you do, God? In honor, King Solomon was smart enough to ask the right thing. And God, you favored him in a way like no other human being, in the human sense. You gave him the knowledge about everything. So do you know, if you wanted to talk about ants, he could talk about ants. He could talk about whatever he wanted. You gave that as a gift. You gave him all of that knowledge. Did he know it? No, not until he did it. And there it is. And God, you're wonderful. He is. And God, you do that for us. That's right. That's what I do. It's awesome. And God, you're doing that. Right. So therefore, here's the wonderful working that you do, God. And you give all of that wonderful knowledge to Solomon. And you gave it in Christ Jesus to us. So how much do we have in Christ? Another way. How much life did God give you when you got saved and you met and knew and received him as your Savior? How much life did he give you? How much life? Good Lord. This much? This much? How much? Is he doling it out? Is he doling it out? You know, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. And next week you'll get some more. Is that what he's doing? No. You have all of it all at once. How so? In the wonderful person of Jesus Christ, you have all life. You don't get any more life. You'll never get any more life. You already have life. They say, when I go to heaven, I'll have life. No, you aren't going to have any more than you have now. The difference is you have a different atmosphere to enjoy it. We can't even touch the subject. I got to quit. You understand? God has given you everything. It's all in his wonderful, it's your relationship. And you exercise the relationship to enjoy all the benefits. And you have them. You have them all there. I have, you have cyclopedias, all those things. And I have a huge, a deck, big volumes like this, literally. Just the English language. It's all about words, all of those volumes, of the English language from the beginning. And it gives all the origin of everything and usage of it, thousands and thousands of pages. And I can sit in front of it and kneel down in front of it, actually, and look at it and say, boy, I know English. No, I don't know English, but boy, all those volumes do. They do. We're able to look to the living and only God. Boy, I got all the truth. No, you don't. Yes, I do. I have it in the wonderful person of Jesus Christ. And I'm related, and you're related to him if you're saved, quite differently than you are to the dictionary. Wow. Now, God, you've done that for us, to have this truth. That's right. And you'll notice, please, I'm going to slide over if I can. And you see where it says, and you know all things. And now, picking up the thought, if I can, for time's sake, verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you already, and you shall abide what? In him. What did you tell us to do? To abide. That's right. The Lord Jesus said, you're going to abide. You abide in me and I abide in you. Without me you can do nothing. Now God, you're going to do that. And I want you to know that you've heard, look at verse 24, let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. And I can't get into that, but what are you saying, God? I don't want you to be like the Antichrist ones. That verse 18, same context. Don't be. I don't want you to be Antichrist. I want you to be for Christ. I want you to be Christ ones. Christ, the anointed one, anoints you to be Christ ones, to represent him in an awesome way, so that wherever you go, you have the full, using dictionary, you have all the words. You don't know them, but the dictionary has, the books have them. God, you have them. So wherever we go, we carry what? We carry the truth. We carry all of it over John chapter 8. Gospel of John. I'm sorry I did not get this a little better for you, but it's an awesome subject, to say the least. Wonderful subject, actually. And people don't even think about it, to say that they don't. John chapter 8, picking up, please. John chapter 8, picking up in verse 31. Then said Jesus, 8 and 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him, if, and you may or may not do so, if you continue, abide in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Truly, truly, you are my disciples if you abide in your word. That's right. And that's what we do. How can I love you without it? And verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then you slide down in context to verse 36. If the Son, and you may or may not, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. First class, you're going to be. Since the Son will make you free, you shall be free indeed. Since you're going to be. The Son makes you free, then you're going to be free. The truth makes you free. The Lord Jesus Christ is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So God, is it possible for us to have all this truth? Yes, it is. Because you have all of the Father. If you have all of the Father, you have to have all of the Son. And if you have all of the Son, God the Holy Spirit, you have to have all of him. You have to have all of God. How can you be saved without God? In his fullness. So God, what have you done? I've made it possible for you to have a unique relationship to me. And I am who I am. And you don't represent you. You're a new creature in Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, what? I live. You represent me. You represent my Son. And therefore, you understand, when you represent my Son, not you, that whatsoever I say, whatever you ask, anything you ask, whatever, when I tell you you have all of this truth, you better believe it, because I am that truth, and I give it to you in my wonderful person, and you have it. You aren't bankrupt, you have it, and I will be to you everything you need to be. Because I have everything, I am everything, I'm going to work out everything. And you're going to let me be who I am. Therefore, personal, in closing, appreciate your patience. Romans chapter 8, you know it. I could say it, but I want you just to see it in the light of this, in case we never get there again. Romans chapter 8. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry, verse 26 and 27, is to honor God the Son and God's Word, God's will, God the Father. Verse 26, verse 28, and the Spirit of God is not interested in what your desire is. He's interested in what God's desire is. He isn't interested in what helps you have a nice day. He's interested in how you can have God's day, God's kind of day. Therefore, in all of that, I'll read verse 27 for a little. And he that searches the hearts, that Spirit of God, the Father, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for us, for the saints, according to the will of God. And therefore, what do we know? We know that, can you see the two little words? All things. No. Yes. All things work together for good. All things. No. Yes. When I say all, I mean all. I don't have to look up anything, said God. I have everything all at once. So when I tell you, you're looking to me, you aren't lacking, you don't need to turn a page. I have it all right in front of you. I am. That's what the Lord Jesus said, remember, in the upper room. And they couldn't get it. God was standing in front of them, and they couldn't absorb. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you have seen me, verse 7, 8, and 9, you have seen the Father. Guys, 11 of you, here I am. But, no buts. What about yesterday? What about the future? What about this and that? No. I am everything in front of you. There's nothing out in the future. I am the future. I am the past. God, we're in your presence. Wow. Our Father and God, thank you for your grace and kindness. Help us to understand a little bit as we seek to put this, God, your wonderful word in order, adorn the doctrine, that we might be able to truly grasp and come to grips with the awesomeness of being a person. God, to have a relationship to you that is utterly impossible and is extremely possible simply because of your wonderful person. Without you, it's impossible, God. But with you, there's nothing impossible. And God, here we are, our work, our home, our job, our coming to school. Here we are. And God, we're looking to what about this and what about that? And no, God, we just need to look to you. And there's nothing missing. When you said you'd supply all our need, you never have a need to meet our need, to meet all our needs. God, thank you, thank you, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.